morning, Oasis Community Church. Great to have you with us. I can see people are gathering online and starting to chat already. Just welcome you all. Encourage you just to speak to each other through that chat throughout the whole of this morning's service together. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know what your week has been like, whether you are soaring on the mountaintops or whether you feel like, you know, where we left off last week, it's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to encourage you and say that God is with you today. He's been with you this week, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, he is with you. And this is a morning where we can just pause and we can just come back to who God is and who we are in God. And he renews us and refreshes us, gives us life, gives us fresh vision. You know, this week, I was just struck just as I was praying before we just came online together. This week, our fence has been out of alignment a little bit, and the gate hasn't been shutting properly. So the lock hasn't been closing. And I realized that the screws on the side of the gate had come loose. So the gate had shifted down and the gate was no longer serving its purpose because the screws had come loose. And as soon as we tightened those screws up, the gate lifted and we were able to lock it and it served its purpose. And it just reminded me, just I was sat in silence just a couple of minutes ago. It's almost like God just said, you know what? This morning is going to be an opportunity for me to feed into your soul. Tighten the screws of your life and allow you to feel like you've got purpose again and you're fulfilling all that I'm calling you to do. And it reminded me of Isaiah 40, which says, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow faint. My prayer this morning is as we gather, that you will have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who will strengthen you and renew you and give you the strength to run this race, no matter what's happening, no matter what we feel is going on in the world around us. So this morning, as we sing, let your song rise, let breath get into your lungs. You might be on your own in your home, you might be with your family. We're all going to raise our voice together. Know that as a church, we're raising our voice for the very purpose of saying, God, we know you are everlasting. You are strength. Spirit of God, will you fall on us and give us the strength we need to be what you're calling us to be. So Ben, Vicky, they're going to lead us in worship. We've got a great morning planned. We're going to see what the Spirit of God wants to do as well. So please, let's raise our voice. Let's worship together right now as we sing and Ben and Vicky lead us. Thanks.
Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, Lord. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. praise I sing for all that you've done for me. Strong. your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You're so great. You're in the business of restoring. You're in the business of resurrecting. Of restoring, 'cause you're a great redeemer. It's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Still I'm found, leaves the 99. couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yeah, Rabash.
Bless you, mate. You're magnificent.
God, you're good.
Thank you, Jesus. We
just
thank
pray
you.
Pray over you right now. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Swinder, right now, let's just pray for each other. Just where you are right now, pray for the other households that are listening on this. Pray for the other individuals that are part of our community, those that maybe have never been to our church but are listening and watching right now. Why don't we just start to pray for each other now? In a time where we're so driven to understand what is going on, where if you're engaging with any of the news, people are trying to get their head around what is happening and figure out what we need to do to be able to move through this. My prayer is that the love of Christ would surpass all knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God, that our experience of God's love would be greater than our ability to understand what is going on in the world, what we even know of God. Let your love blow our theology out of the water. Surprise us just how reckless your love is. When we think we've got your love understood, when we get who you are, God, will you just blow it out of the water? Will you surpass our knowledge with an overwhelming outpouring of your love upon each one of us right now? Let's just lift our voices and pray for each other. Just pray your spirit pour out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pour out. Just an overwhelming sense.
Like never before.
Healing and power
of love.
A waterfall of your love.
She's experienced something new of your love, Jesus. Let it be real, let it be tangible.
Waterfall of your presence. Waterfall of your presence.
Let it be tangible, Lord, and quantifiable, Lord. Not just some intangible, untouchable thing. Help us sense it more than ever. Increase your love, Lord, in our hearts, that we might increase your love as we share it with others.
Your presence. Rooted and established.
Yes.
Reminded of Jonah. We spoke so much of Jonah this week in our Connect group. And, you know, Jonah tried everything to run from God. And yet when he finally got there, in chapter 5, he sat on a bench and just said, I'm surrendered now. I don't get it. I don't understand it. To be frank, I'm a little bit angry. But I cannot deny your presence. I cannot deny what you've done. I cannot deny that you saved me. And the love and compassion that you see for these people that you've called me to, I cannot deny. Your goodness is running out. It's running after me.
So good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the
goodness of God.
Yes. We sing of your goodness. Choose that to be the melody of our heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We declare your goodness. Which of you, if your son asked for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asked for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See that, Phil sharing that on the chat. I want to encourage you right now. Why don't you ask your Father for what you need? Be bold enough to bring your requests. You know, it's that place of surrender that Vicky was just saying, where we actually say, God, I can't do this. I am not king and lord of my own life, so I surrender to you. That is what prayer is about. When we come to that place and say, God, I trust you. A place of surrender. That place where we say, God, I need something of you right now. So whatever it is you need. Why don't we bring our requests, however big, however small. We're not a burden to our Father in heaven. You are not a burden to your Father in heaven. God, for those that need you to meet them emotionally. God, put something deep down inside of us. God, for those that are finding themselves, just get the word reactive. Getting that word as I'm praying, just the word reactive. We're finding ourselves being reactive. Whatever that is emotionally, whether we're finding ourselves drawn to sadness or anger or whatever it is, we're reacting. Let us respond right now to your love. You pour it out upon us. Now, if you're in the chat and you just sense God, maybe he's giving you a word or giving you a picture, I just wanted to just encourage you just to share that. Great this week that we've got Ben and Vicky leading worship for us, and Ian is part of this service, and so is Mark Greenwood. They're going to be chatting in a little while, but if those guys have got anything they want to share, just what we sense in this moment God is saying, we just invite you, Spirit, will you speak as your servants are listening.
Been reflecting this past week or 10 days or so over a quotation that I heard in my devotional or read in my devotional, and it's something that we all know, but I'm sure, like me, you forget some things, or some things maybe just move to one side, and you may not forget them, but you stop remembering them. And I've been encouraged in my devotions about meditating on on God themes. And one of the God themes I've been meditating, Joshua 1:8, as many of you know, is do not let this book of the Lord depart from you, but meditate on it day and night. And meditation in Eastern mysticism is about emptying your mind of stuff, isn't it? But for us as Christians, it's about emptying our minds of unhelpful things, but actually filling it with good things. And so I've just been seeking to kind of develop that practice a little bit more. And one of the things I've been reflecting over was a quotation, as I mentioned, from Corrie ten Boom. It's very simple. Nothing is too big for God's power, and nothing is too small for God's love. Nothing is too big for God's power, and nothing is too small for God's love. Sometimes I can overcomplicate prayer. I think, oh, should I really be praying for this? Is it the will of God? Is it right? Is it a bit selfish? Is it a bit this? Is it a bit that? Sometimes actually that can stop me praying. But as a dad, when my daughters come and speak to me about things, I just love to hear their voice. And I don't want them to overcomplicate their approach to me by thinking, oh, what will Dad think of this? And, or will he do this? So I just want him to come. I mean, obviously there's times when I'm going to say no, and we need to have a correct theology, don't we? So I'm not suggesting that we throw a good theology about prayer out the window. It's just this simple thing of let's remember, particularly as we've been encouraged to pray, that nothing is too big for God's power. Nothing is too small for God's love. I wonder whether maybe you might join me. I'll reflect over this for the next 3 or 4 days extra. I wonder whether that's something you might want to join me in this week as a community.
Yeah.
That we just reflect over that and pray over that. Don't let it depart from you. Fill your mind with the truth that nothing is too big for God's power. Nothing is too small for God's love. And if you know anything of the story of Corrie ten Boom, you'll know that soundbite was her life. It's not just a soundbite for her.
Too small for you to love. So I cast all my cares
Just as those words continued to be sung over us with Vicky, I wonder whether we might literally just think right now, what is the biggest thing you need God to do? And what is the smallest thing you could do with him doing? And let's just bring those before the Lord. What is the biggest thing that you just cannot see how this is going to be done? It could be something that you've constantly prayed about for years and years. It might not be the task itself, but the fact that the bigness that it's become in your mind. And this sounds a terrible thing to say, but let's just not worry right now whether it's God's will or not. Let's just get back used to praying and involving God in the big things that we need. And what's the smallest thing? What's the smallest thing? Because I don't know about you, but I rarely know what God's will is when I'm praying about stuff. There are times when I do. So maybe just bring the biggest thing and the smallest thing.
So cast all my cares upon you, Lord, as
I was just reading this week about the spiritual practices of someone that I like to read, and they were writing about how they spend time with God, and he was writing about just journaling, and he writes about anything and everything, and this phrase jumped out. He said, "I dare to presume that God's spirit is operative in the things I'm choosing to think about and write down." How about we dare to presume right now? Rather than being consumed by the will of God and what that big thing might be, how about we dare to presume what is occupying your thought right now is what the Spirit wants to speak to you about and deal with in your life. I just had a picture while we were praying of, you know, Jenga, the game, the blocks of wood. Just had a picture of our prayers being like, the thing that we're praying for is like that massive block of Jenga, and it's huge. And it feels way too big, but one prayer at a time, each brick is being removed. And then after each prayer, the hole, that thing that we're praying into, is slowly, slowly losing its strength and its stronghold and its power, and it will collapse, but it's one prayer at a time. And you don't know which prayer it's gonna be that pulls that brick that causes the whole thing to fall. So our commitment to God is just to keep coming, keep praying, keep trusting him. If that resonates with any of you, maybe that's just the effects of lockdown and wanting to play some family games and stuff. But if it is the Spirit of God speaking and that means something to you, just pray into that right now. Why don't you just pray that next brick? That's what I'm committing to. Whatever it is right now, right in front of me, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm going through, I pray right now. And I trust you with the whole. I come and I just pray. Whatever your mind is on right now, presume that the Spirit of God is speaking into your life. And I just wonder right now as we pray, I wonder if we could just all, as we've been gathering this week around the Lord's Prayer, maybe we could just all pray that together right now. I've put it down on the chat, the public chat space. I wonder if we can just pray that prayer as we've been gathering around what it means for God our Father in the heavens, who's close up as the air is to our skin, to enjoy his presence, relish in who he is, pray for his kingdom, his will. Then we start bringing our requests. And we pray that together right now as a church community. Let's go for it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Lord, we declare that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. We put you back on your throne. We declare that you are God. Amen. And amen. And amen. Guys, isn't it great just to be able to worship together and just be able to be in his presence? And, you know, I like it when the plans that we've got just get taken over. We've got some stuff that we wanted to cover this morning, but maybe this will be an ongoing conversation. Just great to have God's Spirit just with us and ministering to us. I pray you've sensed that and experienced that this morning. We've got some videos lined up. We're going to scrap all of those just to say, Ian spoke into this a little bit last week, but Elim is nationally, we're coming together as a family of churches to give into this coronavirus around the world, to sow in finances if you're able to. So we'll make that link. I'll put that link on the chat in a few moments. But if you're able to give this morning, then please follow that link. And whatever amount you're able to give would be fantastic. If you can pray into the situation, we know that some places around the world are experiencing this virus in such a way that it's impacting how they live their lives, not just on lockdown, but the fact that they can't work means they can't eat, which means they can't survive. And so we want to be able to support those nations around the world. And we're fortunate to have Ian, who's the missions director, part of our church. And so we'll keep updates coming through the email. So if you're not on an email list, please sign up for that. We want to keep you updated on all that's going on. And if you're able to give, then fantastic. That'd be much appreciated. But just for this kind of 10 minutes, which we wanted to do for like half an hour, but we've got 10 minutes, so we're going to see what happens. I've invited Mark and Ian just to come and share with us. And we've been doing a conversation each week around just different thoughts. And we're going to pause the Psalm 23. Last week, we got to the verses where it's, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. And I just wanted to pause it there because, you know, we're in a situation and a circumstance where so many are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And for many, it's that they may not even know who Jesus is. You know, they don't know him. And so the hope in this circumstance has been lost and has been taken away, the hope that they built in their family. And I was reading this week in 1 Peter 3, and it's about suffering and suffering undeservedly. And it says in verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Just want to encourage you and say, anyone who's ever suffering, know in the midst of it, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be intimidated, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. And do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. And I just wanted to invite both Mark and Ian just to speak into this passage around hope and the hope that is within us in the midst of the valley. Mark being Elim's national evangelist and Ian being Elim's missions director. So we're kind of local and global. And so guys, I just want to hand over to you and just say, share your thoughts. Maybe Ian, you want to just kick us off with something and then we'll have a conversation and see where that goes.
Yeah, sure, John. I think it's fascinating, isn't it, at this moment in time. People are desperate to hook hope onto something and trying to find hope. And I think one of the things that's become increasingly evident for us, not just as a local church, but as the church, is that there's this call to be a calming presence in our communities and in our environments. But my question is, why is it we can be such a calming presence? Is it simply just because of the things that we do, or is it because there's something deeper about that, and the reality of who we are? And so I think, Mark, you know, one of the things that stands out for me in this verse, you know, the verse that John read was this, the hope in you. Yeah. It wasn't some kind of, it's not some abstract thought or wishful thinking, but hope in you. I don't know whether we want to just explore that a little bit in the few minutes we've got.
Yeah, I think it's really easy, isn't it, to allow the external stuff to affect the internal. And this is, of course, no new revelation this morning. But sometimes I think you've got to work hard to focus on the internal, because you're absolutely right. And it's interesting, this verse 15 particularly. You know, I've often said it myself, many people have said it, 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared. And it's almost like we brush over or ignore or don't even realize or recognize such a key part. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And we go to this external stuff, even in this verse, but there's this internal, this resurrection hope that we have, which I think we've really got to contend for, remember, and reminding ourselves and wrestling. And again, you know, maybe this week as a community, we could say this week, I'm just going to reflect on, you know, what it means to revere Christ as Lord in my heart, and maybe make sure that I'm doing my best to kind of make sure that I'm focusing on that, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, absolutely. I think that's something we need to do. I think it's the very thing that shapes our responses. And so I think for me, this hope, the hope we have in Christ is sure and steadfast, because he rose from the grave. You know, he conquered death. So therefore, what's the thing that people fear the most? It's death. And actually, in context of the passage, it was around the trial and persecution for believing in their faith, and that sense of give a good reason. And the only way I think they could ever give a good reason, or we could give a good reason for the hope that we have, is because of an experience of hope, an experience of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. And just as we were talking, actually, maybe this will feed into some more of the conversation. Peter, he actually opens up this letter with the general introductions. But then he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love that. So you know what you're talking about there, that it's that inner reality of the resurrection power bringing new life that shapes everything that we do and everything that we're able to do. And I think that's true. I mean, we'll share some reflections on that, but I think that and how we communicate that. But I think that's true whether it's in Stratford or it's in it's in Mumbai or the center, you know, one of the villages in Nepal or one of the villages in Pakistan or in South Africa, wherever it might be. Actually, that hope is true wherever.
Absolutely. And I think appear we would all say that, wouldn't we? But I've just been really conscious. I shared it a little bit early, just when I felt God nudging me to share. I've been really struck over the past couple of weeks about making we talk a lot about intentionality, don't we? Being a disciple is about making intentional decisions. And so I've been trying to make an intentional decision with a number of things recently. And because I'm just aware that I don't want to say forget, but I can just not remember. Which is where that kind of Joshua 1:6 reading really kicks in, really resonates for me. So I know that the resurrection of Christ is critical to my Christian faith, but sometimes I can forget it or not remember it. The inside is really critical, but sometimes I can not remember. I was really struck by a verse that we've used a lot. It's normally done by enthusiastic worship leaders when the congregation aren't worshiping as they think they should. And they said, you know, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And it's a great verse, but it's a bit unquantifiable, really. It's a bit abstract. And I was reflecting over in my devotion that the word praise is from the French word praisier. That's my best attempt at French there. And the word praisier is a verb, which means to value, to prize. And as verbs are, they're action words. So I've been trying to action. What are the things that I really value? And I think actually we need to value more and more the hope that we have. We need to value more and more that we are risen to new life, not just when we die, but now. And what we're going to do to help proactively, intentionally remind ourselves so it doesn't go off the agenda, what we're going to do about this hope to prize it and to value it to kind of set it out as something we're going to really do our absolute best to remember we've got. And I think there's some practical things. We're a bit limited on time, so I won't say too much. Yeah. But one practical thing that I've been doing was I suddenly realised during, do you remember Brexit? Who remembers that, when that was the news? And I've been doing it a bit now, because when Brexit happened, I had my iPad on news, because I'm an extrovert. So even when I'm working at home, I need to have noise. And I had BBC News on, just reminding me all the time about what was happening with Brexit. And I did it with COVID-19. I began to realise it was really affecting me. It was, in fact, I would say it was starting to depress me that severe. And I began to realise what I'd done is I'd replaced this jolly news about these crises. I'd replaced that, rather than doing all the stuff that I'd often do, like having worship music on in the background, or you know, somebody reading the Bible to me on in the background. And I thought, gosh, I've not remembered about the resurrection. I've not remembered the good news. And I'm just putting all this negative stuff in me that is affecting this internal hope that I've got. So, yeah, I think sometimes you've got to be really practical, haven't we?
Absolutely, mate. I know we are running out of time, so we'll pick this up at some point, I'm sure. But I think what you're saying there is really, really crucial, because it is about the internal work of Christ in us. And if we don't spend time with him, and that's in scripture, I think that's part of community, I think that's prayer. We've got to take individual responsibility, yeah, and lived out in community,
yeah.
But if we don't do that, then we've got nothing to give, and we've got no witness,
yeah,
to valid witness to say. And yeah. And I think that's where that experience of Jesus is really crucial, because and his resurrection power, because it brings the confidence that we have.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, do we have every point of theology nailed? Absolutely not. Have we explored the depth of the riches of his glory and his majesty? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that my life is different this year than it was last year, because of the work of Christ in me, you know, and hopefully those around me will be able to tell that it's mm-hmm. different as well. And therefore, you know, when we talk to our neighbours about the challenges that they're facing, and whether they've got jobs and worries over health and family and all the kind of implications, how is it then that we can speak life and be a calming presence? Well, I think it's because we've had an encounter with Jesus that changes everything. And yeah. And so I think I wholeheartedly sort of just want to come in with you on that. And I think it's this mm-hmm. is spending time with Jesus that's so, so very crucial. Mm-hmm. Anyway, John, I think you want to...
No, it's fantastic. I want to just, I want to thank you, because, you know, we get Elim's National Evangelist and Elim's International Mission Director having a conversation, and I think the expectation is we're going to learn how we get to do this. But actually what we've just heard is this is who we need to be. And the doing is an overflow of the being. And just as a community, while we're gathering in connect groups and looking at all these spiritual formations, and I think I just sense God is saying, like, there's, like we read in that Ephesians passage, there's an experience of his love internally that goes past what we can understand and believe, and it bubbles up and it overflows without us even realizing, yeah, spilling out into our life. Yeah. That hope starts to swell and swell without us realizing it starts to impact those around us. And it's because of who we're being in Christ. Mm. And I'm just reminded of Philippians 4, verse 8. Something of what you said, Mark, there, of, you know, the choices that we make. You know, I made a long time ago, a few months ago, made the choice of not engaging with news before midday. And it's just completely changed. I made the decision of my phone won't be the first thing I pick up in the morning and the last thing I put down at night. And it's just started to change things within me, these practical things you can do. And I think scripture speaks into that. It says in verse 8 of Philippians 4, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. And I just think maybe the hope within us can start to stir and bubble when we choose to let the input determine the output. When we say, I'm going to dwell on this, not that. I'm going to actively choose. And that's a discipline. I'm going to actively choose to dwell on what is praiseworthy, not what is causing me anxious anxiety. I'm going to choose to focus on Christ and seek him rather than that which is pulling away. And that's what we can do. And I think the Spirit of God does something within us that causes that to grow and stir, and it becomes part of who we are. I know you guys want to jump in on that and speak. We're running short on time. I think we'll pick this conversation up, but just two things that I want to do before we draw to a close. If we can just have maybe 5 minutes, is just for 2 minutes, 1 minute, let's say 1 minute. I want each of us just to be silent and just to invite the Spirit of God to speak into how we apply this into our lives. Let's presume that the Spirit of God actually wants to stir in our hearts and transform us into Christ-likeness. And so let's just pause for a few minutes and say, God, will you just speak into my heart about how I can dwell on this and stir this time, stir this hope within me to be a non-anxious presence. And so let's just invite the Spirit. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, just come and speak right now as we pause in this moment and invite you. We are listening to the still small voice of your presence. Will you speak right now into each individual about how we apply this to our lives as individuals right now? Church, can I encourage you to just grab a pen and a paper, whatever came to mind. Maybe it was a person, maybe it was a sentence, maybe it was a picture, whatever it is that came to mind in that moment. Why don't you just jot it down and then commit to come back to it. Commit to go deeper with it, with God, about how he wants to stir in your heart and stir in your life, because he's committed to us. He's committed to us and our Christ-likeness, and that being what impacts the world around us. So Ben, Vicky, they're going to lead us in a song to finish. But church, be encouraged. We're praying for you continually. And I know so many people are connecting and doing different things together. It's great to see the church being a community. It's not just a Sunday gathering. We're not now restricted by a building or services, but we are. We're just letting the Spirit of God move and impact lives. So we're going to finish with a song. And look, I just pray right now that you would, this week, Spirit of God, would you help us to draw near to the Father and experience the love of the Son as we are empowered by you, as the Spirit to do all that you're calling us to do and be all that you're calling us to be. Will you pour out a love that surpasses knowledge into each person that is listening to this live right now and those on demand later on? Will you just pour out your Spirit, that the hope within us would stir and increase? And it wouldn't be because of our own effort, but be the work of the Spirit that bubbles out and starts to impact the neighbors around us and our own streets, that we'd start to see you move in and through us. It would give us a confidence that you are God. And we are stepping into your will, seeing you move and impacting those around us. In Jesus' name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Changing grace in every
the trumpet sound. Oh, may I there in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Lord.